Okay, we are on Kuf Chaf Ches. Chulin Kuf Chaf Ches is today's daf. We will start with Kuf Chaf Zayin and Beis. There should be, if not already, but anytime, there was a shiur given last night, the daf Be'in shiur related to the Malacha of Kotzer, which was related to yesterday's daf, where we spoke about how if there are fruit that are very dried out, but they're still attached to the tree, they might be mitame tumas ochlin, which means they might be considered detached regarding tuma, even though they're still considered attached regarding the malacha of kotzer. What does that tell you about the malacha of kotzer on Shabbos? That was the topic of last night's shiur. Okay, now we continue two dots on kuf chav zayin amid beis. Nishchata behema. So we get back to what the Mishnah said, that when there is this dangling limb, and then something happens to the animal, what is the halacha? So the Mishnah said that there's a difference between shchita and misa, because shchita is ose nifal, and misa is not ose nifal. What did that mean? That when shchita occurs, we consider it as if the part of the animal, the limb, was the Rashi, again, it's the fourth skinny line. I'm sorry, did I say it the opposite way? Misa is osa nifal, and shchita is not osa nifal. Misa is osa nifal, meaning once the animal dies, then we're allowed to assume that the limb was already detached at the time of the animal's death. By shchita, we do not assume that way. So, when it comes to misa, osa nifal, so then the limb does not have tumas nevela, because we assume it was detached earlier. It has tumas aver menachai. We'll talk about the difference between the two, but it has tumas, because it was as if it was detached before it, but it does not have tumas nevela. Mashenki, when it comes to misa, what the Mishnah say, mesa behema, habasas or achaksher, it requires hechsher because it has to tumas nevet. I'm sorry, that's the misa, the shchita, the first case. Nishchada behema hokshar b'dameha, but nishchada behema then it's hokshar b'damim. Divrei b'meir Rav Shimon says omer lo hokshuru. It's not hokshar b'damim, but either way, at that case, it is not nechshav nevela because it is already included in the shchita of the mother, and therefore it's not nevela, not because it was already detached beforehand, but because it's considered part of the animal, and shchita is matar midei nevela. Okay, so the Mishnah spoke about the difference between misa and shchita. Okay, but now there was a machlokas, whether when the animal is shechted, and this limb is included in the shchita of the animal, and therefore it's not tamei mishum nevela. So it's not nevela, so it needs hechsher to be makala tuma. If it was nevela, it itself is tamei. It doesn't need hechsher. But because it's not nevela, it's included in the shchita of the mother, so we say that it requires hechsher. So what's machsher? It says Rabbi Meir, the dam that's machsher the mother, when you shech, the blood squirts out from the neck onto the skin onto the flesh of the animal. So that itself is machshirit. So Rabbi Meir says, just like that dam is machshir for the animal, it's also machshir for this limb that is semi-detached. And Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says lo hochshiru. What is that machlokas about? Is Rabbi Shimon rejecting the entire idea of da'a being machshir, or is he just rejecting the fact that the aver is hochshar, but the rest of the animal is? So what exactly is the machlokas? So the first amud, today's daf, is six opinions. What exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? So here we go. But Maika Mefagi, what is this machlokas about between Meir and Rabbi Shimon? Again, whether this limb that is semi-detached is hukshar with the dam of the mother or not? That's the question. So, number one, Amar Rabba, Bibehema Naasis Yad Le'ever Kamiflagi. The machlokas is whether an entire animal could be considered an extension of a limb. Because here we're focusing on the limb. Is the limb hukshar lekabel tuma? Can it become tummy now? So the shaila is, well, we know the blood went onto the rest of the animal. And if this limb was fully attached, then it would be considered the animal. But it's not. It's semi-detached. So are we allowed to say that just like the animal was hochshar, that's an extension of the limb? It's kind of opposite, but that's what we're trying to say. It's an extension of the limb, and therefore the limb is also hochshar. That's the machlokas. Mar savar ein behema nasas yad la'ever. One opinion, Reb Shimon holds that the behema, an entire animal, cannot become a yad for just one limb. Mar savar behema nasas yad la'ever. And the other opinion, Rabbi Meir says it can, and therefore it is hochshar with the heksher of the mother. The pashtus of this Gemara is that the blood is machshir, the main part of the animal. The question is, can it also be machshir the eiver? Tosfos points out that it might not be so simple, as we're going to see later on in our sugya, but we had earlier also in this mesechta, that Reb Shimon himself holds that blood is never machshir. It's the shechita that's machshir. That was Reb Shimon Shita way back in the Ayans, I think. So we will. So Tosfos just modifies that when we say whether it's going to be Yad LaEver or not. So that's an issue of not the Dom being Machshir to be a Yad, but it's the Shechita itself. That's what Tosfos says on the third line at the bottom. Tosfos V'Achi Kamar Ein Beim Nasi Yad LaEver Ha Im Nasi Yad LaEver Haya Mukshar Mishchitas Behema. It's the Shechita. It's not the Dom itself. Okay. Either way, that is opinion number one. The machlokas is about whether a behema, an entire animal, could become a yad. So what's the lumdus behind that? We might say, usually, what's a yad? As we've spoken about earlier in the week, a yad is something that helps you handle something. Just like a handle. A yadit is a handle. Or a stem helps me handle. So here, could we say that a tafel can be an item, and the ikur could be a yad? Because lemaisa, does it help you handle it? Yes. You could pick this rest of this animal, helps you handle it. But come on, this is a yad. Maybe a yad also has to be defined as something secondary to the item. That's the issue here. Do you say that's also part of the definition of yad? That's the machlokas, according to Rabbah, between Reb Shimon and Rebbe Meir. Number one. Number two, Abaya. Abaya Amar. Abaya says, Ba'ochez Bekatan Ve'ein Gadol Ole Imo Kamifliki. The machlokas is when you pick up a small part of something, and the other part the big part would break off as you pick up the small part. Are those still considered connected? If you pick up a small part and the big part also is picked up with it, then this for sure is connected. But our case is a case that if you pick up this limb, it's gonna break off from the rest of the animal. That's the question. Is that, even though it's gonna break off, is that considered connected or not? So again, Ba'ochez Bekatan Ve'Gadol Ole Imo Kamifligi. Mar Savar, one opinion holds, Ochez Bekatan Ve'Ein Gadol Ole Imo Hariyu Kamohu. Rabbi Meir holds that even though that's true, it's gonna break off, still it's considered like it, and therefore the heksher of the behema could spread. Umar Savar Eino Kamohu. And the other opinion says no, Rabbi Shimon says no. If it's going to break off when you pick it up, it's obviously not considered a connection. And therefore, one is not allowed to assume they're together, and the heksher of one does not work for the other. Let's continue a little bit, and then we'll talk more about this, where else this comes up. Rabbi Yochanan Savar. Rabbi Yochanan also, it's clear, holds like Abaya, that the issue in our Mishnah is, Ba'ochez Bekatan Minigado Ola Imo Kamifliki. He clearly holds that way. Why? The Rabbi Yochanan, Rami, the Rameir, Adra Meir. Because he has a contradiction between Rabbi Meir's. And the only way that we can understand it as a contradiction is if he is explaining our Mishnah based on this issue of Ole Imo, that if you hold a small piece and it doesn't go up with it, the Gadol part is not Ole Imo. Why? What's his stira? He says, Miyam Rabbi Meir, Ochez Bekatan Minigado Gadol Ole Imo, Ariyu Kamau. How could Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah say, it is hukshar, meaning that even if you only pick up a small part and the big part is going to break off, it's still considered connected, and therefore the tumah could pass, or at least the heksher tumah could pass. How could he say that? Viraminu, but didn't we learn from Rabbi Meir in a Mishnah in Tevul Yom? Ochel shenifras, umu'ura b'miksas. If you have a piece of food, Rashi says, truma, right? Ochel truma, shenifras, that broke in half. It's in pieces, umu'ura b'miksatz, but it's still connected a little bit. So it's a piece of bread, let's say. Piece of bread that it's somewhat separated. A piece of meat that was mostly sliced, whatever the case may be. So does that transfer? We know a tful yom is not allowed to eat truma until shkia. That's the first mission in Shas. Tful yom, somebody is tummy for the day. He already went to the mikvah. Now he's waiting for sunset. Mishasha konim nechnasim lechol trumasan. He's got to wait till sunset. Tful yom itself is a very important topic to try to analyze, in that it's somebody who's in the middle. He was tummy. He or she was tummy. They went to the mikvah, but they're waiting until nighttime. So are they tahar with a tanai? Are they not tahar until the nighttime? So what happened already with the tefillah? It's interesting to think about. What does the tefillah do? And what does Shkiyas Achama do? Anyway, so the Mishnah here says, if you have a piece of bread, a piece of food that got separated mostly, Rebbe Meir Omer, im oches bakatan v'gadol ole imo, if you could pick up the small piece, and the big part also goes up with it, hari yukamo, then they're considered together, v'im lav, eino kamo, and if not, they're not considered together. That's the stira that Rabbi Yochanan asked, right? How could our Mishnah say that Rabbi Meir holds they are connected? In our case, it's a case even where you pick up the small piece and the big piece does not come up with it. But the Mishnah in Tful Yom says that he requires the big piece to come up with it. Only if the Gadol Olimo stira. So you see Rabbi Yochanan holds like Abaya. Because if not, what does one Mishnah have to do with the other Mishnah? So he must be holding like Abaya. And by the way, the Mishnah Gemara continues, V'yam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, to answer the question, said, Mukhlefes Ashita. What does Mukhlefes Ashita mean? Usually Mukhlefes Ashita means, switch the Shitas, you're right, we were wrong, Reb Meir is really the other Shita in the Mishnah, switch. That's what Rashi says, and you remember this from Beit Zadav Gimel, where we talk about the four reasons to explain the Machlokes Beis Rabbi Hillel, Beis Zadav Gimel, we also have Mukhlefes Ashita. For some reason, Rashi here explains it differently. Rashi here does not say Mukhlefes Ashita as switch the Shitas. Rashi says Mukhlefes Ashita here means, here Rebbe Meir has a different Shita than his other Shitas. Meaning, you have to be Mechalek between the contexts. That's what Mukhlefes Ashita here means. See Rashi on the third line? Kan Hechlef Rebbe Meir Shitaso. Rebbe Meir is different here. Avo Ba'alma Svirale. Ochis Bakata and Me'engada Oleimo. How are you come out? Otherwise, and generally says they are connected, even if it will fall apart. But here he doesn't. Take a look in the Achron and why Dafka, he interprets this Mukhlefes Ashita as different than elsewhere. But that's what he does. Let's continue. Umay Kushya says the Gemara, what was the whole problem to begin with? Dilma, what was Rabbi Yochanan's problem? Dilma Shani Leir LeRabbi Meir, Bein Tful Yom, the Lashar Tumas. Right, which is basically the answer of Mukhlefes Ashita according to Rashi. But the Gemara asks, what was the Havamina? Maybe your mayor is Bechalik between Yom and Tful Yom and Shartum. It's meaning what? He's more Mako by Tful Yom. Even though in other contexts, even if it's going to break off, it's considered connected. And therefore, one part Tameh, it's going to make the other part Tameh. By Tful Yom, he's more Mako. And therefore, if it's not a stronger connection, they're not called connected. Why would you be more Mako by Tful Yom? Says Rashi. Fourth skinny line. The Afa Dima Afakav to make our mayor betful yom shehutuma derabanan machmeru betuma chamura. That's Rashi. Tful yom tuma derabanan chulin kuf chavches estagina shas. What is he talking about? There are so many sources in shas that tell me the concept of tful yom on a daraisa level. So the Gaon HaShas does not answer for Rashi. Right? This is an unusual Gaon HaShas. He even tells you his question. He doesn't just tell you another source. Tamuli says Rabbi Kiva Eger, ha Tful Yom, hu tami daraisa. Lifsol shuma bidigia. What's Rashi talking about? Tful Yom is a kanta daraisa. Ayin sota, vahavi leila Rashi lomar. Rashi should have said what he says elsewhere. The Tful Yom, kolish tumaso. It's daraisa, but it's weaker. Why is it weaker? He's already gone to the mikvah. Now he's just waiting for Hashem to do something. He's waiting for sunset. So that itself makes it a more makel tumah. Because it's something's going to happen automatically to make it tar. Vitzarech iyun gadol. I know there's differences. There have been studies written about how Rabbi Kiva ends off. Vitkasha lahavin, vitzarech iyun gadol. There's different levels about how difficult the problem is. I think tzarech iyun gadol is pretty bad. Right, I think that's a tough one, and he does not like any of the suggested answers. The Rishash here deals with an answer, and others say, maybe Rashi's talking about, in a case where it's only Tful Yom Durabanan, right, that's the case that we could that's the Ukipta of the Mishnah. Okay, either way, that's the Kasha of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Back to the Gemara though. So the Gemara says, what was the whole Shiloh that Rabbi Yochanan asked between in the Stira? Why didn't he just say there's a Chilik between Tful Yom and other contexts? Answers the Gemara, because Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Omer, Echad Tful Yom, Echad Shar Tumas. We learned in a Braisa that there is no difference between them. Says the Gemara, 1 minute, V'doma l'Rebbe lo shani le, l'Rameir shani le. Maybe that's only Rebbe's opinion. Maybe Rebbe Meir would have a difference between Tful Yom and other Tumas. Answer, Am Rebbe Yoshia, Hachi Am Rebbe Yochanan. Well, divrei Rebbe, Mukhlefes Ashita, period. You're right. If you, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if you say that there is no difference, then you got a problem. Like Rabbi Shita. If you say there is no difference between Tful Yom and other Tumas. Okay, that is all answer number two. to answer up, what is the machlokas about between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir and our Mishnah? Number one was, could a behema, an atar behema, become a yad for an aver, for one limb? Number two was, what happens if you pick up a small piece of something and then the larger piece falls off? Do we say there that it is all considered connected? So this comes up in other contexts as well. Comes up in other contexts as well. First of all, even before Lecha Mishnah, it comes up in Hilchos Betzias HaPas. Regular Betzias HaPas on a weekday. We know that Halacha is that we're supposed to make a bracha, Berachas Hananin, right before we eat something. Right before we eat something, we're supposed to make a bracha. The Shaila is, what happens? I know when it comes to like a fruit, something that I bite into, there's no problem. I make a bracha and then I bite into it. And I'm yotze both. I eat right afterwards, and also there's an inyan to have a bracha on a shalem, to have a bracha on something whole. The problem is, what happens if I'm going to have to cut something before I eat it? Let's say bread. Let's say, I don't know, if somebody eats lasagna's not whole. Let's say like a quiche, which is a whole item. Do I cut it first or not? Is that called a shalim or not? In any case, the Shulchan Aruch talks about bread. Simin Kuf Samach Zayin. The Yachtov Prusas Abetzia. Cut off a piece. V'tzarech Lachtoch Ma'at She'im Yo. You have to cut off a little bit before your bracha, and then make the bracha. Cut into it. Why? She'im Yachos Ba'prusa Yala Sharaki Karimo. Cut a little bit enough. The Zohar Gemara. Cut a little bit enough so that if you would lift it up from that part, the other part of the bread will come up with it. If you cut it more than that, then that's not considered a shalem anymore. If you're hilchas bracha, that's a problem. So just make like an indentation in it, so it's as if the cutting started already. Then make your bracha lamozi, and then finish the cutting. She'im lo kein, because if you don't do it too much, chashiv kiprusa, right? It'll be called a piece. V'yanichena mechuberes lapas v'yaskel lavarech. Right, that is a Shulchan Aruch on a weekday. If we eat bread, who eats bread nowadays? Who eats a loaf of bread? But if you would eat a loaf of bread and you can make a bracha, now we get a cut already from the store. But if you have a whole loaf of bread, and the question is a challah, if you're going to cut it, if you have a roll, so then the best thing is to cut it a little bit beforehand, and in that way, you would be able to... thank you. You'd be able to view it as a shalem. The problem is Shabbos. Shabbos is the problem. So right here, the Ramah continues. The Ramah says, "Ubis Shabbos lo yachtok baki karan achar abracha." On Shabbos, you can't do that. Why? Because Shabbos, you have a higher standard, not just shalem for hilchas brachos, which is good enough as long as it looks shalem. But lecha mishnah has to be mamish shtei shlemos. So therefore, you can't cut it beforehand. Kadesh yuaki karos shlemos. So that you have to have holki karos. Umikomakom continues the Ramah, im shachach v'chatach kamo b'chol, eino mazik. If you did it by accident and it still looks whole, that's good enough. It's okay. You don't have to worry about it. That's why you're not allowed to do it. That is on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Hilchos Shabbos, now I think it's Reishai and Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Medaktikim that try to cover both, at least mark it. You can't cut into it like you do on Shabbos, because then it's not going to be a shalem. But as long as you mark it, so that's why you might see some mark their challah, so then that would be good enough to start. You started the cut, but it's still considered a shalem for Lecha Mishnah. The problem is that sometimes, like, we make a mark, and then we spend 6 minutes looking for where we put the mark, and that already is more of a hefsek than if we wouldn't make the mark at all. So if you make the mark, you don't have to go crazy to find the exact place of the mark. I always wonder, what about challahs that you don't cut with a knife? What about breakaways? Did they have to do anything there? Right, breakaways, you can still mark it, but is that really the haschala of the cutting? So people do it anyway, even though you're going to use your hands to break away. But either way, that is a place where in Hilchos, outside of the context of Tumah Tahara, this comes up. Okay. Piskei Tshuvos discusses this also. Is it better to let's say you have two challahs, sometimes when they're baked, they're connected. So breaking them, is that still called shalem? Should you make lecha mishnah while they're still connected? What happens if you only have one challah? Is it better to cut it so you have two prusas rather than having one shalem? That's a tshuva of the Netziv. The Meshav Davar discusses that If it comes to you as a whole, then you should just use one whole. If it comes to you split, so then there's no reason for doing anything more. It depends how it comes to you. We discussed that in Lecha Mishnah Shiurim. I just wanted to find one other important source, and that is the Stipler. The Stipler says, what is this whole Gemara talking about? What creates Tziruf? Tziruf is when it's connected enough so that when you lift up a piece, the other piece comes up with it. Says the Stipler, though, there are other contexts that you need much, much less. For example, in the concept of Hafrashas Challah, right? If you look at Mishnayos and Challah, what does it say? As long as they're touching enough so that if you take away one Challah, a little bit of the other Challah comes off. That's a much less connection between items to be mitzarif them than here. So what's the difference? See, if in other contexts you find in other cases where you have a dough and you have a little water running between them, and that connects the two items. So how does that work? That's much less than a little bit mamish connected. So says the Stipler something. He says this is in Taurus Simen Ayin Beis. Simen Ayin Beis in his volume Anita and Taurus. So he has all of his chiddushim and Taurus in the volume Anita. So he says there a chiddush which he says I haven't seen anywhere. You have to do a lot of more research about it. But it's ironic. It's the opposite of what you would have thought. But maybe it's exactly the key. All the cases where it has to be a higher standard, where it has to have the connection of if you lift up a piece of it, the other part has to come with it, those are all cases which originally were a unit. And now they were separated. So now, in order to still view it, or to now to review it as a unit, it's got to have the high standard. But two things that were never connected, and you're trying to connect them now, maybe you even need less. There wasn't a Maisa HaMafredes earlier that you have to go over, that you have to get over. So ironically, if it was never connected, maybe it takes less to connect it. So all those cases with Afrasha's Chala and the water connecting the items, those are cases where there was never a connection. This wasn't one Chala. Here, what are we talking about? In our Gemara, we're talking about an animal that had a full connection and now it got separated. By the cases of Chala, it was one Chala that got separated. That's what he says. Say it again. Uvu ulai called in to oches bezeh ve'ein sheni oleimo lo havi chibur einu ela ba'ochal shenifras chaynu shemikodem haya chibur gadol v'yachshav nitlash achibur adei prisas miksas. So now it's separated. Tikfar hischil ba hareyasa to hischalkus. Bazeh amrinon. That's what we say. Shem oches bazeh v'em sheni oleimo kfar roen oso kilunechlach legamre. Aval bedvar shem mitchilas chiburo lo haya ba'ofen al yid shayidei yeoches bazeh olazeh ulai mikol makam chiburo kodvan shechiburo kaya. So he says, bevadai kashem ma'od lo my dover kazeh below raya. It's kashem ma'od, but look, some of the sources point to this direction. And then he says at the end, Vadvarm Srichim Birur Ubedika Bishas Uposkim Velokasafti Elohayir Leif Hamaayin Fitzarach Birur. So he says a huge chiddush, but he says, you know, it's food for thought. And it's time for us to analyze it more. Okay, we continue though now after our discussion of Lechem Mishnah. Number three, Rava Amar, on the 10th line or so. Rava Amar, the third opinion, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? Rava Amar beyesh yav letum of a yav lehachshak b'flagi. Concept that came up earlier in this perek. Rava says, the machlokas is, there is a yad for tuma, but is there a yad for hechsher? Is there a yad for hechsher? To have a yad, to say a stem is tameh, so it makes everything else tameh, that's fine. That's all meseches uksin. But do you apply that to hechsher also? That's the case here. We said the behema was mukshar. So is that good enough for the limb? So mar sava yeshal tuma v'ein yad lehechsher. That's Reb Shimon. O mar sava yeshal tuma ulehechsher. No, there is for both. Fine. We spoke about the lumdus of that earlier in this parak. Number four, Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa says, Behechsher kodem machshava kamiflagi. The machlokas is about, we know usually what's the order of items. Somebody thinks about an item to make it food, and then after that it needs to have liquid fall on it to be mukshar lekabel tuma. What happens if the order was opposite? If first you had hechsher, and then you had machshava. Meaning, in our case, the person did not think about this item as food until after the animal was shechted. So it's machshava after the hetzer. Does that work? Titznan. Or the Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kachay Rabbi Kiva Shone, Rabbi Kiva taught us, Chelev Shchuta Bakfarim. If you have Chelev from a shechted animal in the villages, nobody ate fats. We'll see Rashi in a minute why. But either way, Chelev was not eaten in the villages. So Tzarech Machshava, Vein Tzarech Hechsher. You need to think about it, you need to think of Machshava to make it into Ochel, but it doesn't require Hechsher. Shekvar Hochshar B'Shchita. Because it already had Hechsher in the Shchitas, so even if you think of Machshav afterwards, it's okay. Meaning, according to the first opinion, it doesn't matter. Amarti Lafanov, so Rabbi Yehuda says that I told Rabbi Akiva, Limatana Rabbeinu, but didn't you teach us? Ulshin, which are usually translated as endives. Either way, some type of vegetable. Ulshin shelikton, ulshin that you collected and harvested. Vihi dichon lebehema, and you wash them off to be animal fodder. Vinimlach alehen laadam, and then you change your mind, and people are going to eat it. Srichos hechsher sheni. You have to be machshir it again. Why? Because hechsher always needs to follow machshava. So, Rebbe, meaning Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Akiva, didn't you teach us otherwise that the order is crucial? The Chazar, Rabbi Akiva, Lioshonik, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva's like, oh yeah, you're right, I forgot that. Right? Or, whatever, I forgot, or I realize that you're correct. Either way, so Mar Savar La Kedmei Karo, Mar Savar La Kechazara. So some one opinion our Misha holds like him before he was Chozer Bo, the order does not matter, and that is Rabbi Meir. And one says the order does matter, and that's Rabbi Shimon. So that's opinion number four. What is the Machlokas in the Mishnah? What's the Dekudas of Machlokas? What we say, what's the Dekudas of Machlokas? Why should Machshava have to come before Hechsher? So it could be related to what we've discussed in the past, and that is, what's the lumdis of Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah in general? Why does something have to be Mukshal L'Kabal Tumah? You have a vegetable, you have a cucumber, that's now, I cut it from the field. So if a dead body touches this cucumber right now, it's not tame. It has to get wet with one of the seven liquids, Yad Shach Adam. Why? So there are two views in the Rishonim, at least two views. The Sefer HaChinuch and Rashi. Rashi right there in Parsha Shmini. And the Sefer HaChinuch himself says, because it doesn't have a Shem Ochel until it gets wet. Remember that? The Chinuch says, because most people wash their fruits and vegetables and items before they eat it, so in a certain way, it's not, it doesn't have gemar malacha. It's not a finished product until it gets washed off, until it gets wet. And therefore, even though there are certain items that you don't wash, low plug, on a daraisa level. And there's no full shem ochel until it's mukshar. That's the Chinuch. The Chinuch says that in, did I bring the Chinuch? I think I did. That's the Chinuch in the mitzvah in Parsha Shmidi of Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah. And that is the Shitas Rashi as well, Tumas Ochel, and Mitzvah Kuf Samach, says the Chinuch, calls man, let me try to find, V'chein ein kol ochel shebo'olam nikra ochel, l'kabal Tumah, ad sheyabo olav mayim, me'achar shenekar menakarka, because most people wash it off, and he continues. But Rashi also says that, ein om kabal, and that was also the Lashon that we saw about 3 months ago. But we looked at the Gemara that, I didn't give Shiran, because it was on, I think it was on Shabbos, right, beginning of this parak. Reading this parak, remember the language on Kuf, Chaf, Chaf, where is it? Beginning of the parak, Kuf, Yud Ches, Kuf, Yud Ches, and Aleph. The Gemara had a very important line related to our sugya. The Gemara had it right in the middle, Peros Shalo Hochsharu, Kitanur Shalo Nigmar Malachto Dami. Fruit that were not Hochshar is like an oven that's not finished. What's the comparison? Both of them, they're not completed products. So we're taking that one out of context. But that's number one. The other way to look at it is the Ramban al Torah in Parsha Shmini says, no, it is a food. But there's spiritual pores that are not open until the item gets wet. Once it gets wet, those spiritual pores are open and now Tumah can get in there. Okay, that's the Ramban on a Kabbalistic metaphysical level. But he doesn't say anything about the Shem Ochel. But maybe that's the lumdus behind this Machlokas. Why should you require Hechsher before Why should you require a machshava before hechsher? Why should the order make a difference? Or remember the different shitas. The first opinion, Rabbi Akiva Meikara said it doesn't make a difference, and then Rabbi Yehuda said to him, "No, you need machshava before. You have to think about it first." So if you say that, which direction could you say this in? So you could say, if it's giving it a shame ochel, like the Chinuch says, like Rashi says, so maybe it requires a shame ochel before, then the machshav is also giving it a shame ochel. Right? So then maybe it doesn't make a difference. They're both a team giving it a shame ochel, and therefore the order does not matter. That's Rashi in the Chinuch. But if you say, no, it's to open this, it is a shame ochel already. It has to open its spiritual pores, so maybe you have to think about it as a shame ochel. You have to think about it beforehand. You have to give it the shame ochel with your machshava first, and then the spiritual pores can be opened. You can't open the pores of something that's not food yet. So maybe that can make a difference. Again, according to the Chinuch and Rashi, if you say it's giving it a shame ochel, then it's doing the same thing that your machshava is doing. That it shouldn't make a difference. Masha Enkein, if you say like the Ramban. Just a possibility, a suggestion what the lumdus is. Okay, that's number four. Now we're up to number five. Number five, that Ramban, if you want to look it up, is Yud Aleph Lamed Zayin in Shmini. Number five. Rav Acha Bar Rav Yigal Amar, number five. Ben Iskaneach Adam Ben Simon LeSimin Kamiflagi. Maybe the Machlokas is where the Dam got wiped off between the Simanim. Between the simanim, what does that mean? You shechted one simon of the animal, the blood squirted out. Rashi says, it even squirted onto the aver itself. And then you wiped it off, and then you finished the shechita. It was a case, I guess, where you did it very quickly, and there was no shechia. There was no delay within the ma'isa shechita. That's the machlokes. Do you view the blood that squirted out during the shechita, that was wiped off already, do you view that as dam shechita? Do you view that as good enough dam? So mar saver yeshon l'shechita b'tchila v'atzov. Some say, right, Shas topic, you view the shechita in increments of time. Yeshon l'shechita b'tchila v'atzov. Meaning, every moment within the ma'isa shechita is significant, and therefore, v'hai dam shechita hu. And therefore, the dam that's squirted down the middle can still be viewed as dam shechita. Umar savar, no. Eina l'shechita ela l'sof. You only look at shechita once it's finished. And once it's finished, the dam is no longer on the aver. And therefore, v'hai dam makahu. And therefore, all the dam that comes out during would be viewed as dam from a wound, not dam from a shechita. And therefore, dam makah is not machshir. Only dam shechita is machshir. That would just be called a Rashi quotes. That's that is not what's needed for hechshir l'kabel tumah. Okay, that is number five. So that sugi of yeshel shechita comes up in various contexts. Comes up by shechut echutz. If you do part of a shechita in one place, part of a shechita in another place, comes up in other contexts in iser hana and avodah zara, all different places. How you look at the ma'aser shechita. Remember, we did say from the achronim though that even if you say yeshel shechita b'shechila v'atzof, that's only once a shechita is done. If you stop in the middle and never finish the job, then for sure it's not a shechita. It's only once it's done, then you're allowed to look at every increment of time as being significant. Number five. Number six, sixth and final suggestion. Rav Ashi Amar, b'shechita machsheres v'lodam kamiflagi. Getting back to what we started off with today. The machlokas is whether the ma'isa shechita is machshir and not the dam. Rav Shimon shechita that we had earlier in the Masechta. Rav Shimon says it's not the dam. The dam is not machshir from shechita. It's the ma'isa shechita that's machshir. And therefore, this ma'isa shechita does not affect the aver. Right? The aver is still aser, if you remember. Mashiach Yehud Meir says, no, it's the dam, not the shechita. And therefore, if the dam is machshir, so then the dam could even affect the aver. Rashi explains what I just said. Why is it that the dam would not be machshir? Because it's not machshir ba'achila. Where's the Rashi? The Rashi is Rav Ashi Amar. Right, look in the Rav Ashi, the medium lines. Medium lines, the last few medium lines. The time of the shechita machsher is why generally the shechita machsher mishum tekiva de mashvile ochla le'inyan heter achila mashvile nami ochla le'inyan tuma. Usually, shechita creates a heter achila. So Rav Shimon says that's significant enough to say that also creates significance for tumah. But hachalach lememrach here it wasn't matir because it's already considered a detached aver. So therefore, it's not going to be machshir either. Okay, that was all six suggestions. Next, now we have a couple of questions. Boy Rabba, all these questions, the common denominator between all these questions is. There's going to be two items. One of them is not going to be able to become Tameh. Can Tumah transfer between that item to the item that it's connected to, which can become Tameh? That's going to be the common denominator between all these questions. Number one, Boy Rabba, Behema b'chayeha, ma'o she'te'ase yad le'ever. What happened, we've been talking about, after the animal dies? What if while the animal's alive and Tumah touches the animal? Could that make the Aver Tameh? We said the Aver is Matami Tumas Ochlin. So, what if Tumah attaches, the animal can't become Tameh because the animal's alive. But can tuma transfer? Can the animal be a yad that transfers to the aver? Even the animal itself is not becoming tame. At the behema bechayeha, ma shetayase yad laaver. Teku, no answer given. Amar Abaya.
Yeah. If the whole machlokas begin with whether behema nasas yad or not.
Oh.
So it doesn't imply that if it was alive, then everybody would agree.
Why? The question is the same question. You're saying, can a behema, so you're saying it's a double. Even if you say behema nas is yad, Rabba said suggestion number one, if you're going to say behema nas is yad la'aver, maybe that only would be when the animal's dead, and it could become tummy also. So you see from this question that it's not so clear. Maybe you could say both. Maybe you could say both. Right, Rashi quotes what you just said. Rabba okim pluktayo la'el with the first one. So now he's saying, maybe you could even do it while the animal's alive. He notes that. He acknowledges that and says it's even a question according to that. Double step. Can it be a yad bichlal? And can it even be a yad while the animal's alive? Now, next, Amar Abaya. What about this question? Hari Amru, Kishus, Shenata Ba'atzitz, Vihigdila, Mishnin Uksin. Let's say you planted something in a flower pot, and then it grew. And what's the halacha when you plant something? Let's say a kishus, which is a vegetable. The halacha usually is when I plant something, if something was tummy already, it's no longer tummy. If I put it back in the ground, now it grows. That's something totally new. I put it back in the ground. So that's what happens here. I have a tummy kishus, and I put it back in the ground, and so now it's growing. Now it's growing because it's considered new in the ground. But what happens as it grows more? So kishus shenata ba'atzitz vihigdila viyatza chutzla atzitz tahora. And if it keeps growing, even what's outside of the atzitz is tahar. Why? Because what's outside, let's say again, you picture a plant and now it hangs over the flower pot. But now what hangs over the flower pot is directly over the ground. So that's considered as if it's part of the ground, and that part is tahar. But the part that's in the atzitz, we're talking about, let's say, an atzitz that does not have a hole in the bottom of it, atzitz she'eino nakuv. So it's not as if you replanted it, really. It's in a flower pot. It's not in the ground. So what's in the pot is still tame. What's over the sides of the pot, which is getting nourished from the avira, from the being near the ground, that's hanging over, so that is tahar. That's as if it's replanted again. So, Amar Reish Lakish, this is all background, then we'll get to the question. I'm sorry, Amar Reb Shimon, V'chima Tiva L'Taher. Ella, I'm sorry, the Tanakama held, once it hangs over, then the whole thing becomes tahar. And Reb Shimon says, no, it depends where it is. V'chima Tiva L'Taher. Ella HaTamei B'Tumaso V'Tahar B'Taharaso. It depends where it is. The part that's still in the pot is still tamei. The part that's over the pot is tahar. So, according to Reb Shimon, what if something touches the outside flowers that are now tar? So do we say the tuma can transfer to the inside flower pot that is not connected to the ground? Simple type of case, the item that's being touched cannot become tame because it's still considered mechuba lekarka. And can that go and transfer the tuma to what's inside? Teku, again, that question goes unanswered. That was two. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, third type of similar question. Ma'u, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hari Amru, Hamishtachav Alachasi Delas Asra. What if I bow down, for Avodah Zarah, to half a gourd? Half a cucumber, half a melon, half a zucchini, whatever you want to translate Delas, half of something, Asra. That Asr's that half. That half is Asr. That half is Asr. Boi Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ma'u Shetayasa Yad L'Chaverta. Can one be Yad L'Chaverta? Why, what's going on here? Rashi explains, once something is Asr Bahana, it can't be Matami Tumas Ochlin. Because Tumas Ochlin means it's edible. Here it's not edible anymore. So, half of this item is no longer Tami Tumas Ochlin. The other half is. So that's our question. Even though it's Asr Bahana, but if something touches the half that's already Asr Bahana, can that transfer the Tuma? Right? Mausha Teyazi Alachaverta Teku. So again, no answer given to that question. The Rishonim here do point out, though, that isn't Avodah Zarah itself Tame? Mishnah says in Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva. So Rashi says, and the Ramban here all say that Tuma is only Dirabanan. Even though it's learned out from Sukkim, it's only Asmachta. See Rashi, bottom line, Miyuahi Tuma Dirabanani. Vikra Asmachta Bialma. That's Rashi here. That's what the Ramban also says here. Does not quote Rashi, but the Ramban here says it is Ikalamemar Shiny Tumas of Zara Dirabanani. Vikibi Inan le'inyan tuma d'oraisa. And our question is all about d'oraisa. That's an important day of the Rishonim, that it's all tuma d'rabanan. Okay, so those are all three similar questions. Next, Amar Papa, hare yamru, yichur shel te'ena shenifshach, u'ma'ura bikli pasa. Getting back to issues of slight connections. You have a yichur, have a branch of a tree, of a fig tree, that got cut off, but it's still connected by its bark. So connected by its bark, but it's mostly disconnected. So what do we say about that? Rabbi Yehuda Mitaher, because he said it's still mechubar. So it's not makabel tuma. V'chachamim omrim, it depends. Im yachol lichyos tar. If it can regenerate itself, so that it's considered still connected, tar and it's tar. V'im lav tame. And if not, it's still, it's called tame. So Amrei Repapa, same kind of question. Maushi yaza yala chaveiro. Can it be a yala chaveiro? Meaning, if it is considered detached, according to whichever opinion, and tuma touches that branch, or tuma touches that tree, that branch. The branch is makabel tuma. The question is, Rashi has two deyos here. The second deya is, what if tuma touches the tree? Can it go to the branch that is considered detached from it? That's Rashi's second deya. Rashi's first deya is that, what if you have two branches? You have one that's only a little bit detached, and the other one that is more detached. Okay, Rashi has two deyas. Why? Because maybe Rashi wants to say that if you have a tree mamish, that can't transfer anything. Because how could a tree be a yad for the branch? That's how Samach wrote him. The Chazon Ish doesn't like, discusses that, that Rashi. How could a tree be a yad? Either way, but that is the similar case. The ukimta is part of something that cannot become tameh, being transferring tumah to something that can become tameh. Amar Rav Zeir, part of the lumdus of all these questions might be, how do you view tumah, the something that's not makabel tumah? Is there some effect? Is there some chalos, but not any chalos that we have to worry about? Or there's nothing? Something that's not makabel tumah, it's not makabel tumah, period. Like, how do you look at tumah? So all these questions I've been looked at similar, in a similar vein. Amar Rav Zeir, final one. Hare Amru, Evan Shebezavis. Let's say you have a rock in a house. Evan Shebezavis, this is a Mishnah in Negayim. We know there's a concept of Nige Batim, right? Saraz on a house. What happens? Rashi explains here that in those days, how they used to build houses with a shared wall, but what they did was the bottom layer had big rocks, and then the upper layers, after the bottom layer, they had two rows of rocks. So there was an inner layer and an outer layer on everything but the bottom one. What if the bottom one got saras on it in one of the houses? So you got to scrape it and it's batame. We know nige batim is batame shem ohel. It's batame the whole house, just like tumas mace. Not exactly the same, but it's a similar type of tumah. So evet shebezavis kishu cholates eskula. When you are cholates, when you have to scrape off in order to determine whether you're going to come back the following week to see if it grew or not, kishu cholates. Rashi says, Kishu cholitz, l'sof shavua shel hezger, kidachsiv v'choltzu es ho'abanim. When you scrape it off and take out that stone, then cholitz is cool, you gotta take out the whole stone, even though half of it belongs to the other guy, if you take out that stone. Ukishu notates, but if you've already come into the state that it's vadaitam and you have to destroy the entire house, kishu notates a shalom, you only have to destroy his part. Umeniach et shel chaveiro, you can leave his friends. Cholates, and why Rashi explains based on psukim. The halacha by cholates is a din of evan, you have to do the whole evan, but by notates you don't have to. So boy Reb Zeira, Moshe Tiyasalach Yalachaverta, same kind of question. Can the chelak hatahar of the house be machnas tuma to the chelak hatameh of the house? Rashi, Moshe Yasa, chelak hatahar, bayis yad, lezeh lahachnas tuma, lebayis chavero. Right, can it transfer the tuma? So take you again, it is unanswered. Again, the tumas mitzora on a house, you can listen to the mitzvah shiur, we spoke a lot about it in mitzvah kufayin zayin, about tumas agam. It's a punishment, but at the same time it's a matana, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to find the treasures, the matmonios that the Amorim put in there. And tumas nagam of a house is a fascinating discussion. We mentioned also that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it might not have ever happened. At least according to one daya, the three cases that might not have ever happened, Bensora Amora, and Irani Dachas, and Bayis HaMenuga, at least one opinion says that those things never happened. They are just here for Derosh V'Kabel Schar. So here we have to be Darshan and V'Kabel Schar. Other opinions say no, they did take place. Either way, that is Bayis HaMenuga. Viter Mesa HaBehema. So what do we say in the Mishnah? When you have this Aver HaMeduldal, you have this limb that was semi-detached, so we say it depends what happens. If the animal dies, So then, misa osa nifal. And therefore, it's considered detached before the animal died. So this limb is not tamei mishum nevela. It's tamei mishum eiver menachai. So now the Gemara asks, what's the difference? Is an eiver menachai the same type of tumah? So ma'ika, ben eiver menachai, le'er shel nevela. What's the difference between the two of them? So it can be, they're both avos ha-tumah. So it can be nayu, basar ha-poresh mimenu me'eiver behema. If it's just basar, because basar menachai is not metame. Right, basar from nevela obviously is tame. That's the difference. The ilu basar aparish me'eiver menachai lo metame. If basar comes off this eiver, it's not metame. Me'eiver mena nevela metame. That's the difference. Period. Eiver menachai de metame mikra. What's the source that in general eiver menachai is metame? Nevela is a pasuk. Right? How do you know eiver menachai is metame? What's the pasuk? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav v'chiyamus min habehema, min habehema, something from the animal. So that includes Eiver Menachai. Says the Gemara, "Hami boy leliki idach to Rav Yehuda Amarav." You need that for the other din. The Amar Yehuda Amarav Yamri La Bimasdisa Tana. Some say it was a brisa. V'chiyam was mina behema mixas behema metame u'mixas behema ina metame. No, mina behema teaches me that some yes, some no. Meaning ve'ezazuzu treifa sheshachta. You need mina behema to teach me that a treifa is not metame mishum nevela. Only a nevela. Treifa means it had good shechita, and it just has another problem. That's what you need min ha-behema for. So Gemara says, no, imkein lifto rachmana mi behema, my min ha-behema, shra min ha-tarti. Okay, you learn both, a treifa is not metame, and you learn eiver menachai is metame. I hachi afilo basar nami, so why do you only learn eiver menachai as being metame? Why not also basar menachai? Lo salkataitach. No, you don't have that ha-behema. Ditan, yukad the b'risa says, yochol yehe basar aparish menachai tame, you might think basar menachai is metame. Tamalom We're going to have 3 days here. Let's focus before we finish. What is the definition of basar and aver? So, v'chiyamos min ha-behema, ma misa she'eino osa chalifin. Just like death cannot regenerate, the animal died. Af kol she'eino osa chalifin. Divei Rebbe Yossi Aglili. What's included in tuma? Only something that cannot regenerate. Basar can regenerate itself. That's why it's not included in Tumas Nevela. Rabbi Akiva, or Tumas Eiver Menachai. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Behema, Ma Behema, Gidema, it's almost just like Behema, not only, forget the regeneration, it has sinews and bones. Afkol Gidema, it's almost. Basar does it if it's plain fat, flesh. That's why it's also not Tame. Rabbi Omer, Behema, Ma Behema, Basar Gidema, it's almost. Afkol Basar Gidema, it's almost. So three, you also have flesh, a limb, an animal has all, so flesh and sinews and bones. So to all, three opinions. What are these three opinions about? Why basar min hachai is not tame. Either because it regenerates itself, or because it doesn't have sinews and bones, or it doesn't have basar gidim ha-samos altogether. Right, so ma'ika ben, the Gemara just finishes off, let's just do this. Ma'ika ben Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, what's the difference between the last two opinions? Ika ben arkuba. Though the difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva, the last two opinions, is an arkuba, which does not have the difference between basar gidim atzamos and gidim va'atzamos. Where's the Rashi? Rashi explains the difference. Bailer, right, first white line. Rekuvan emkarasim arosh, ein ba basar klal. There's no flesh on there. There's only gidim atzamos. So according to the opinion, according to Rebbe Akiva, it would be tame, because that's gidim atzamos, and according to Rebbe, it wouldn't. Bailer, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Yosef, Lidle Ma'ika Beinayu. What's the difference between the first two opinions? Amra Papa, Kulya, Venifs Vasayim, Ika Beinayu. These would be, because these items do not regenerate themselves. But they also don't have any bones. So if you say it's just the simple, by if it doesn't regenerate itself, then it will be tame. But according to the second opinion, you need bones in there for it to become tame. Okay, those are the differences between the opinions. Period. We will have to stop here. And B'ez Hashem, we will continue. If you want to just look up, there is a Torah Tamima on this pasuk of Min HaBehema in Shmini that discusses the language of Mikra. Because there's a Ramban in Shoresh Aleph that says Mikra is always used for Dinim Durabanan. And here, whenever the Gemara says Mikra, not Minani Mili, that's a Daraisa. But Mikra is only by Drabban, and here we're talking about a Daraisa. Right? By Eber Asa Benachai. So how does the Ramban work with this Pasuk? You can look at that Torah Tamim in Vayikra, Os Kuf Samach Dalad in Shmini. Okay, we will stop here. Okay, I forgot to mention at the beginning, I just want to mention that this week's Shiurim are sponsored by the Michelson and Kosowski families in memory of their grandmothers, Leah Bas Yehoshua and Rachel Sipara Bas Mordechai. We thank them for their sponsorship, but this week they'll be sponsoring the Shiurim. We thank them.